This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
I'm Leila Roche. I'm the founder and CEO of Cosmetics Inspiration and Creation. And what I love about beauty, it's an ever-changing industry.
Beauty is an ever-changing industry. And at an event like Makeup in New York, where the latest products, trends, and innovation are on display, who better to walk through how the industry is transforming than someone who seeks to inspire and stimulate creativity through trend books, presentations, workshops, and beauty tours. Coming up, you'll hear from a sought-after expert with 20 years of experience in cosmetics and fragrances and a passion for worldwide brands and innovation. All on location at Makeup in New York.
You're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry. Recorded on location.
Leila, it's so fantastic to see you here at Makeup New York. Thanks for joining us. So tell us a little bit about your company and what you do on a day-to-day basis and how you work in the industry.
Okay, so my company, what my company does is in the name of the company. It's called Cosmetics Inspiration and Creation. Basically, what we do is we provide seeds of inspiration for the beauty industry, so brands and also suppliers. So globally, that's what we do on a day-to-day basis, presenting trends. Mm-hmm. We have trend report and also working as a consultant to help them, you know, design their innovation.
Can you give us some of your most recent inspirations that you've been working on or that have inspired things along the way during your years in the industry?
Ah, there's been so many inspiring things going on. I think the most important thing is to see how this industry is evolving. You know, like green used to be something very niche and very just trendy, and now it's really moving into a mainstream category. It's been over segmented as well, so it's not just sustainability, it's more complex than that. You know, it's all about recycling, ethical, social aspect, and also I think the way that consumers now are leading the way and leading the voice of change, which was not the case in the past.
Absolutely. So do you think a lot of brands are really listening to what the consumer has to say on the street, or is it on the screen? Like, where are they getting their access and their intelligence from?
I think there's a big difference between the traditional player and the indie players. The indie players were really raised and also are working with by listening consumers, you know, through social media. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole platform of their development. While the traditional brands are moving towards listening more to consumer, they used to be, when I was with Procter & Gamble, we were working on mass market. We were expecting consumers to tell us what they want. But globally now, it's more complicated than that. It's just to understand some insights. But it's not the consumer is going to tell you exactly what to do.
Right. So tell us a little bit more about your business and how it's differentiated. You mentioned storytelling is an important component.
Yeah.
Walk us through that a little bit.
But globally, my business has evolved. Like 10 years ago, we were doing mostly trends and consulting, and we shifted, we added one surface, which is storytelling, because globally, the brands now need to find their voice. So once that their platform is correctly defined, how do you express that for towards a consumer or towards other businesses? Because we also work in B2B business, so we have brands that are B2B. To see, and also companies that are B2B. So how do you tailor your story to your end consumer, would it be professional or a consumer?
Do you think the B2B space has changed a lot? I mean, the B2C, we know there's a lot direct-to-consumer brands, new innovations, you know, people really trying to speak to their immediate audience. What about on the B2B side? How has that changed? Because we've been interviewing people the past few days, and we've learned a lot. What about from your point of view? What are you seeing?
I see that for the B2B aspect, or the people who are here today exhibiting at the Makeup Inn, I think that there's been a huge change in the way they work with their own clients. It's mm-hmm. much more, first innovation-based, but also everything needs to be pre-marketed if you really want to go fast.
What does pre-marketed mean?
Having a concept, you know, not just showing a product, but showing a concept. So going for, but going more into the marketing story themselves, you know, because B2B, they used to just
show product.
Show product, research talking to research, but now it's not researcher talking to research anymore. Everything needs to be appealing for the researcher and also for the marketing team. And even more with the indies, because indies, they move fast.
Right.
So it's really important for the supplier to have products that are ready to be launched, even if you can twist it and adapt it to the need of your brand.
Right. Well, that's interesting, because you're right. I mean, that the speed to market is so important today to be able to get new product and new ideas out to the consumer, because their appetite is so big, right?
Exactly.
So, or do you think a lot of the manufacturers and innovators and packaging companies are looking to do more turnkey solutions that they can just provide, where their clients can just put their brand on a collection, so
exactly.
to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Globally, they're working on both, and you need to work on both.
Right.
You need to work on turnkey innovations,
right?
And to be fast, because now it's time to market, especially
right.
in the makeup industry. So time to market is really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the indie brands, they go very, very fast, and mm-hmm. that's also why the traditional brands also have reviewed the way that they do their development in order to be faster on
right.
the market and to compete with those very agile small companies. So same for the suppliers. They need to make sure that they have things that are ready to sell.
Ready to sell.
So pre-tested also. Because, I mean, this is a serious business
yes.
also. A lot of people forget and think, okay, we do just some makeup and we just do like in the kitchen.
Right.
No, this is a serious business. You have to be sure that your formulation is stable,
compliant.
That is compliant to some regulations and a lot of people forget and think that, you know, you just do the thing, you throw it out and that's
right.
it. So if you really want to be a supplier playing with the big ones, you need to, you know, pre-test a lot of things, make sure that the formulation that you show have been tested,
right.
you know, are compatible with the packaging and so forth.
How do you think it plays into the MOQs and the size of the quantities that people buy today?
That's also, I think, has been a big change in the industry. Because like 10 years ago, it used to be, okay, you need to have like this minimum pieces or I don't talk to you.
Right.
Well, now it's changing. And that's a good thing. That's also allowing small brands to be out there and you're small one day, and you're huge the next day in
That's
this
right.
industry.
It can happen very quickly.
Exactly.
I also think it gives you an opportunity to test things in the market when you can do something on a smaller and make sure that it's a viable product or brand that people are excited about.
Totally. And what also has changed in the industry is now if you're out of stock, it's a good thing.
Right, I know that.
You know, you want it.
Where to go? Where's the product? You want people looking for you.
Being on the waiting list of the waiting list.
Right. That's good. I agree.
Here comes Makeup in Los Angeles, the only and unique B2B makeup event at your doorstep. The next edition, February 11th and 12th in Los Angeles at the LA Convention Center. Makeup in Los Angeles is a unique place where you can find from alpha to omega every piece of a makeup and skincare product and make your own line, advised and guided by the savoir-faire of the most qualified experts in the beauty industry. Whatever your project is, there you can find the best contact. You can ask for an invitation at the show's website, makeup-in-losangeles.com.
So, Layla, I know one thing, you know, Makeup In has started to do more of is actually really great programming. Tell us about what you spoke about at this conference this year.
Well, this year, the organization has asked me to put in perspective of trends, the innovation that were presented by supplier in the innovation tree. So basically, suppliers present about, I think, 80 products or 70 and something. There's a pre-selection by a jury in Paris of experts. So they ended up with 27 products, and we, as our agency, saw the 27 products. We had fun with it and with them, and then we selected 10. And we presented how these products are really consistent with the trends we're seeing all around the world.
And what did you see? And I understand the FIT students also weighed in, right?
Yeah, well, FIT, it was really interesting because we selected 10 products and FIT had to select 3 products. And actually, it was really consistent. The 3 products they selected were part of our selection as well.
Oh, interesting. So what were the trends? What's the outcome?
Well, the trends basically were trends that are related to big social changes that we're seeing right now, which is not only impacting the industry, the beauty industry, but all industry. So it's a wellness trend. That's the first one, which is globally really changing the way people consume, feed themselves, and also take care of themselves and go to the, some specific sports as well. So wellness revolution. The second is the fact that now consumers are looking for love brands. So they want to connect with brand. They want to know they buy according to their values and also they engage with brand. The third one was all about freedom being the new luxury. I think that today digital is really helping us to free ourselves from the constraint of the things we don't want to do and do whatever we want to do. And
well, tell me more about that. What does that mean? Is it like self-expression or is
Well, freedom is all about experience, taking the experience, going and choosing what I want to choose and also experiencing rather than just owning things. You know, we used to be in an industry, the luxury industry used to be about owning the biggest car, the biggest bag, and now we're seeing a whole change also in the luxury business. It's more like enjoying a bag, maybe only for a month, and then maybe to pick another one, you know. Luxury is also all about service, is making sure when you go to a restaurant, they recognize you, and then they almost know what you want to order.
Yeah.
So that's freedom. And so how does that relate to beauty? That's also an interesting point. So that was the third one, the freedom. And the fourth one is post-disruption. I think that we're really living now beyond the disruptive. I mean, the new rule is there's no rule. There are no rules.
I could have told you that.
Yeah. So that's, and I mean, everybody has to re-question them. I mean, every company has to re-question themselves on, shouldn't we revise those rules?
Right,
you know?
Right. I don't think there should be any rules.
You're right.
Well, because people want to feel empowered by being individual, right? And it's all about self-expression and being true to who you are.
Exactly.
You can be inspired by people,
totally.
And you can be inspired by amazing brands and businesses and everything that's in our day-to-day life. But to have your ownership of who you are as a human being, that's how we'll get the most out of everybody.
Exactly. And I think that's really a revolution that we're experiencing right now. We used to be, okay, I just want to look like this top model. Now I want to be like me, but better, you know.
Right.
And I want to be accepted with my differences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all the body positive movement that we're seeing right now. And that's, you know, very American, but it's cascading in other countries as well. We also see that in Asia. You know, there's a whole trend in Korea about getting out of the corset, you know. Really making sure that you're free from all the constraints, you know, of having to wear high heels, for instance, in Japan. Mm-hmm. That there's a whole bunch of women now saying, okay, why should I wear
if I'm not comfortable?
If I'm not comfortable, you
right.
know. So,
well, and I think in that respect, it gives businesses in every industry an opportunity for bigger, wider growth too, because you're not just focusing on one little group. There's so many interests now, so there's even more opportunity from a business perspective.
Totally, and it relates to what you said earlier. It's all about listening to consumer, because consumer want to buy from brands that understand them, you know, and that they can relate to. Yeah.
Right.
So what are some of the examples of post-disruption you see that are interesting?
One of the example I gave earlier about post-disruption is for a makeup product, not to relate makeup just as making a product, you know, just like not just a product that you're going to use to wear a mask. It's all now about revealing yourself, coming back to what we were saying earlier. So the disruption is also one of the trends we're mentioning about skin up, you know, not, you know, yeah, there's makeup, but maybe there's skin up. So how do you enhance your skin, not just your feature, but your skin? Because now it's all about having great skin. It's not showing great makeup. Yeah. It's really revealing your skin, even if you have imperfection in your skin, like freckles. You know, the industry now is so bizarre because people paint their freckles.
I saw that. They have tattoos. Everything was like a trend.
You know what? That's such an interesting thing about the freckles. I saw that the other day on some, and I was really upset by it because this girl, I mean, it looked kind of fun on a video, but she was really working it so you could not see. And she was adorable, and she really looked like a different person. And I was really a little disappointed because she had a great look.
Freckles are cute. Freckles relate to youthfulness.
She was young. She was not old.
And freckles is also showing that you show your skin. Even sometimes they just paint it on it.
They make up freckles now too.
Well, I think it's an interesting topic because, you know, earlier on people, when makeup was really growing and everyone was trying to figure out, well, how do we talk about skincare and social media? And even though you talked about how do you be more real, people were afraid to break that rule.
Right.
So if you think about the paradigm of the playbook in prestige and makeup, it was always flawless skin. And you had bloggers that were showing imperfections and now consumers expect it. And so I think it's interesting, like social media trend we've seen in skincare is the reveal, you know, like taking off your makeup and showing the imperfections, and consumers embrace that now. And so I think that is
part of what's driving. Well, it's refreshing too. It's refreshing to see people being real.
Exactly.
And that sort of changes the industry a lot.
It changes the aspirational beauty used to be like 20 years ago, the blonde with blue eyes. It totally is changing. And that's great because it's what we're seeing in the streets. So we need to relate to the people. And
it's funny if you analyze the comments, like in some of the, like I think Sephora is doing a great job of using their people.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
You know, having tutorials, and so it's relatable. And it's interesting when you look at the comments of the consumers, they're like, oh, I really appreciate that she had acne.
Right.
Or
they do appreciate,
like, why don't they
that.
Show someone who actually needs makeup? Like, her skin's already flawless. And so they are really looking for authenticity. You know, we say it as a buzzword, but it is so interesting that the consumers accept it and then, you know, almost appreciate a brand for being real around it.
Totally. And I think that we live in the digital world. Okay, it's helping us, but, you know, just not forget, you don't have to forget that we're people and we're talking to people. And realness is really something really strong. And that's why also I think we'll never be a market where it's going to be all internet, because people want experience, they want to touch, they want sensoriality, they want to, you know, talk to people and relate to other people. So,
so we're not going to all be robots?
I mean, we're not robots.
Good.
So who are your clients? How do you work with them? And kind of what advice do you have to them?
Well, globally, our clients are mostly big brands. I have a confidential agreement with them. So I so a lot of one based in France, but I'm not only in France. So usually, it's basically big brands, but also we work more and more with suppliers and sometimes with small brands, some small indie brands. And the fourth category is our organization. I work with an organization called UEBT. We've been working with them for more than 10 years now, and their objective is helping companies to respect biodiversity and people when sourcing ingredients.
I love that. That's great.
My love client.
Wait, tell us more about that. That's so interesting.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it's all about, out there, it's all about naturalness, but you really have to be careful when you source a product, a natural product. Very often it comes from countries that are underdeveloped or in development, you know, while globally the people who are making the products, you know, and the formulation, they're in developed countries. So making sure that you don't steal from their knowledge, you know, there's a lot of traditional knowledge around natural ingredients. So making sure you don't steal their knowledge, that you share the benefits of commercial, I mean, selling the ingredient, right, or having it in your formulation, helping them also, helping their development. So it's not only fair trade, but also, you know, right, educating them, and making sure that when you take a resource, it's a sustainably sourced, that you, right, you know, regrown. So it's a whole... It's a whole thing, a whole category. And so coming back to my comment earlier, you see that sustainability is becoming more complex because there's a lot to take into account when you, yes, talk about sustainability and ethics.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and thanks for joining us. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think the recommendation I would have is really go out there and have a look at what's happening outside your office, in other industry, travel, because that's how you get inspiration. I mean, it's not working from your, you know, going to meetings. I know meetings are really important, but really taking some time to go out there, do some blue sky, and at the end of the day, you'll be more creative than ever.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights and what you're seeing. It's been really informative and helpful. What's the best way that our listeners can connect with you?
Oh, they can follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram or Twitter is at Cosmetic Seeds. And also, we have a website. We have a blog also, a newsletter. So if you go to www.inspiration-creation.com, you can register for our newsletter, and this way they can have the information on what we do in our articles.
Awesome. Can't wait to check it out. Well, thank you for joining us here at Makeup in New York. Really enjoyed having you. And thank you, Abby, for joining me.
Thank you so much.
And this interview.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you.
It was terrific. Thank you so much.
And thank you to all of you for joining us for another episode of Beauty is Your Business here live at Makeup in New York. This is Karen Moon, and look forward to seeing you on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2020. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.